Hey guys, welcome back to No Quitters Podcast, where we interview people who have turned challenges into victories. Their stories will inspire you to push through, never quit, and come out stronger. Your host, Dan Ray.
And Benny Saucedo. So today we have a special guest, as we always have special guests. But today we have someone who is a connector. This guy's a conduit to create a bunch of different businesses. And I mean, he's a visionary. And so without further ado, we have Cesar Gomez from Optimum Financial Group. Well, welcome.
First of all, thank you both of you for the opportunity. I mean, for me, it's actually, I'm grateful to be here and to be able to share the story of why we never quit, you know,
that's right.
Because that's actually, I see no quitters. And I think that just that alone separates the winners from the losers.
That's right. So tell us a little bit about yourself. Where'd you grow up? How was your upbringing?
Sure. So I, I'm first generation Mexican. My parents came from Jalisco.
Okay.
I grew up in the city of Rialto. Just modest means. My dad had his small business, but I always saw him work very hard. And, you know, he was never home. So my mom was always, you know, she's the one that took care of us. But for me, I never liked working for no one. I always wanted to figure out, you know, and I'll show a quick story. When I was about 6 years old, this is where I still reflect on things when I was a child of why I am the way I am. And I remember my dad was a handyman at that time. And during Christmas, he would get hired to hang Christmas lights, but in the Pasadena Hills area. And I remember, you know, I would go, I was 6 years old, you know, my mom and dad would take me. And I used to hang around with the kids, the owners of the house, kids, right? They're mm-hmm. Asian. And I would always ask my parents, like, because we'll go back to our house. And I was like, well, why do they get to live there? And
because you saw it different.
Correct. Yeah. I'm like, well, and my dad and my mom said, well, you know, they're just lucky. You know, that's what they would tell me. Well, you know, you're 6 years old. You're like, okay, well, I guess that makes sense. But then I started realizing that for me, I always had a drive to go get things that I wanted, not things that I had to get because that's all I had the options to get. So throughout high school, my parents, you know, lunch money, I would get free lunch. You know, that was the thing.
Yeah.
But I had friends that, you know, were buying the pizzas and the chimichangas. And I'm like, man, like, I want to eat the chimichangas, right? So then one day I'm just at home and I get the lawnmower and I just go walk around the neighborhood and start mowing people's lawns. And I was about 14, 15 years old and I started making my own money. And that's when I started eating the chimichangas. And this is where it all connects now. I didn't know what I was doing, but at that time, it got me through high school and having money in my pocket. And I was like, well, this makes sense. So I graduated high school and I went on to college. But in college, what I realized was like, I hate school.
You didn't like it.
I don't like school. I just did it because I thought that was going to be the stepping stone to become successful. But I realized like it's not, you know, I graduated with a bachelor's in business and I remember taking accounting classes, which I hated. Now I have a CPA. I took business law. I failed that class four times because I hated tort law and all that contract law. Now I have two attorneys on my team, you know. But I realized like, well, none of that will help me out in real life. Mm-hmm. So I at that time, I met a friend of mine. He was a computer CIS major, and he would build computers in his dorm room. And one day I walked in, and I was like, I go, could you build me a computer? He's like, sure. So he takes me to go buy the parts, but I take the computer and I go sell it. I go door knocking.
And sold the computer.
And sold the computer. I came back. I was like, could you make me another one? He's like, for what? He's like, because I'm selling. So long story short, what I started doing at that time, I didn't know I was delegating at that time. I would go walk into a classroom and I'll pick the smartest kid and I'll pay them to do my work and I'll go sell computers. So I was making $3,000-$4,000 a month door knocking. I would go to
what year was that?
This is 1998 to 2002. And so I, you know, with at that time, I remember, you know, I was never in school. I would just show up first day of class, kind of pinpoint people. And like I do now, you know, it's crazy because I was already doing it unconsciously, not knowing. But I would find the smartest kid in the class and I would just buy him out.
And when did you get that? Like, let me just ask this guy. At what point did you realize, let me delegate?
Now I know what homework. I was doing. But at that time, like, I didn't want to be in school. But if I found the smartest person, right, that was smarter than me, they'll get the work done for me. And it's crazy because back then, I would pick the classes that your grade was based on work, not test. Mm-hmm. So if I walk into first day of class and the teacher is like, oh, 80% of your grade's based on a test, I would just give up the class and find another class. And I would find the class that was opposite. They'll give me 80% of the grade on work and 20%, and I could fail the test, you know, because I'm not a test taker.
Right.
And so for me, it was like, you know, I'll, and I did it multiple times. That's why I failed business law, because that one was based on test. Yeah. So I had to really study for that one. And fifth time around, I passed it. But, you know, that was the only class. Everything else, I figured it out. And so I started going through that process of selling computers. And then it turned into a business. And mind you, I've only had two jobs in my life when I was 18. And I hated them. So I pretty much have been self-employed my whole life since back in the day. My first job, I worked at Goodyear doing oil changes for like 6 months and I hated it. And then I went to another shop as well to do oil changes. And then that was it. I never ever went back. I've been on my own.
You learn fast. I don't want to work for anyone.
Correct. I was like, hell no, nobody's going to tell me what to
do. Kind of going against your person. I don't like this. It's
yeah. And yeah, no, it does. For me, I've always wanted things that others wanted but couldn't have. And that has made me, like they say in Spanish, terco. You know, soy terco.
Yeah.
I always go get what I want, regardless of what it takes. You know, but it has to be under, you know, not breaking my character, right? It has to be within reason that, hey, I'm going to go get that. What is it going to take?
So you said something right now that a lot of people are probably not going to understand. Terco is to be unreasonable. Correct. Like you will not take a no for something when you want it.
Correct. And that's true.
Completely stubborn.
I'm stubborn. Like, you know, and it's because I know I could get what I want if I put in the work.
Right.
You know, and that's what most people don't understand.
Yeah.
You know, so we'll go, you know, back, you know, I'm kind of going, you know, off topic, but so with the computer business, this is when I started realizing that you got to find a niche, right? So I remember I would go into like apartment complexes, you know, knocking on people's doors, you know, 9 out of 10 people tell me, you know, go screw myself, which is fine. So that's why I have no, like, rejection to me doesn't mean anything.
It's nothing.
But then I realized back then AOL came out. And this is a crazy story because it's now I'm
dial up.
Yeah. I'm putting it together in my life today is AOL came out, it was $20. People didn't want to pay $20. Then Net Zero came out, and I remember they started offering it because I went to Cal Poly Pomona, which free internet with ads. So I was like, huh. So I started installing Net Zero on these computers and selling them with free internet. So now people are like, oh, I don't have to pay AOL.
No,
so that gave me a niche. So now I started selling more computers because I had the CD-ROM
already
with AOL, you know, with Net Zero. Yeah, you know, it was slower, and then you had all these ads, but people didn't care because now they could surf the internet for free. Mm-hmm. Then after that, I found a finance company, and this is I'm 19, 20 years old. Like I find a finance company, and they start financing the computers. So now I could walk into your house, and it turned into this big business for me. So now I graduate college and I have a computer business.
And your buddy's still building them?
Yeah.
He's the one building them. How many was he building a day or how long
would
it take?
We're probably selling about 4 weeks. Not too many. I mean, that was but for me.
Simple, basic.
Yeah, back then, very big old towers I would buy the big old towers monitors. I think my cost was like $1,000 worth of parts and I was selling for like $2,500. So I was making like $1,500 for a computer, you know, and I was paying them like $200. You know, so I was already using his efforts. You know, I was already an entrepreneur, not knowing that.
Yeah.
So he was making a little bit of money. He was happy. I was making the bare cut. And I was like,
it was just going.
So that's how I finished college. And, you know, from there, it just, I started realizing, okay, what do I want to do? I didn't want to do the computer stuff. I just did it because he was building, he graduated, so I didn't have that contact. We all graduated. We all went our own ways. So I got into the mortgage industry.
Okay.
And I opened up my own mortgage company with some partners that were lazy. And, you know, like even back then, the connector I am, I was always bringing the business. They were just sitting back and collecting. And that's when I lost everything in 07. And that's, you know, pretty much where everything.
Where was that company at?
We were in Rancho Cucamonga.
Gotcha.
Yeah. I remember what had happened is, everybody knows, we were expecting to get paid by the lenders, by direct lenders, and they just shut their operations and nobody got paid. So we had commissions to pay, we had overhead to pay, and there was no money. And I remember I sat there and I was like, holy shit, like, what now? You know, that was the first time in my life I ever felt miserably like that. I was always on the go, making it happen, move. And that time it just knocked me on my feet.
And it came screeching halt. Yeah, just screeching knocked you halt. On your yeah.
off I your lost feet. Everything. I lost my home. I lost pretty much everything. Cars got repossessed. I remember I had my three youngest kids. And my wife calls me one day. She's like, hey, the notice is on the door. We got to evict the house in 30 days. We had no cars, no house. And I'll share a story of why I'm also driven, you know. So my father only had a third grade education and he came to this country and, you know, he didn't even speak the language and he was successful. He owned, you know, I share the story. He owned, his thing was buying properties. I remember he bought properties in Colton. I told you I remember he bought a house for $15,000 in the mid 90s. And that's what he would do, you know, and his guy was just, he was not smart. He just knew what to do. Mm-hmm. So my dad was not that person. He was that firm, macho person, right? And there was, when I graduated college, he would never go to any venues. He was always working. So I graduated, he goes, and this is how I've lived my life ever since that moment that I lost everything. He said, look, son, you came to this country. I came to this country. I didn't know the language. I didn't know anybody. And I was able to build a great foundation. And look, now you graduated college. He's like, you have no excuses. You know, at that time, I'm like, dude, I'm selling computers. I'm making money. Like, what are you talking about? Right? Yeah. So I lose everything. And then, you know, he passed in 06. I lose everything in 07, 08. Mm-hmm. So he's not here no more. So I can't go ask him for advice, you know? And at that time, I don't have friends like you guys that had the right mindset. So I couldn't go ask people because I was so ahead of the curve of how I was driven to do things that I had to, you know, figure it out myself. So I'm sitting in my backyard, just, I was crying. I was like, damn, I left my family down. Like, what do I do? And those words hit me. You know, when people say, if you don't have a why that makes you cry, you're never going to be driven.
You went back to your father's message?
I went back to his message. I go, I'm privileged to be here, born here. I'm privileged to have a degree, and I'm privileged that I'm healthy. So I just got back on my feet and did it again. And, you know, that lesson taught me you got to stay grounded. You know, that's why it's success. I don't measure it on a dollar amount. I measure it today. I tell people, it's like, it doesn't matter how much money I do have or don't have. It's about who's in my contact list today. Because if everything gets taken out of my feet right now, I just make a phone call and get it back.
Get right back up.
And at that time, everybody that was in my contacts were in the same boat as me, right? So there was nothing. And most of them were, you know, I was sharing with you earlier, I was trying to drag people to the finish line. I've been doing that for a long time in my life. And that's what hurt me because I was trying to take them with me. So when this happened, I had nobody to go get advice from.
You were the biggest fish in the pot.
I was. And I didn't realize it back then, you know, that I was, because I was just laser focused on what I wanted to do and what I wanted to get accomplished. So I was not paying attention to myself. And in this, you know, I'm 47. Actually, when I hit 40 is when I really started making that realization, like, well, I got to worry about me, right? And when I started focusing on me and not everybody else, it's when my whole life changed. Because after that downfall, for me, I I grew up and my dad had an automotive shop. So I went back to the automotive industry and I opened up smog check stations, mm-hmm. which I still own. I still have a handful of them, you know. And I went back to that. I had $10,000 left. And I told my wife, we either pay the mortgage, you know, that's why we lost our home, because you start a business, you know, people are not running into the first day you open. I was like, dude, I pay the mortgage or invest in the business. And I invested in the business. And I went back to it. I created a system. I systemized it. And I just started duplicating. Back by 2010, I was back on my feet. I started just acquiring shops. I would go into businesses and be like, that one's failing. I already have the system. And I'll buy it. Boom. Take it and build it, and then boom. That's what I was doing. So I did that to like 2012, 13. And then, you know, then I built a team, which still till today, most of the guys that have been with me for 15, 18 years are still there. Wow. Yeah. They're still on my team.
Right. When 2007 hits and you're losing everything, you're losing cars, your house and everything. Obviously other people that you thought were on your team are also falling off, which is hard realization, huh?
It is very hard. But, you know, the thing is, everybody that was around me stood there. They're still there today. And I'm the only one that came out on top.
You know? So everybody that was with you, they stayed behind.
They're way behind.
Got it. They couldn't get out of it.
They couldn't. And it sucks. It's just a realization, like, they were the wrong people to be around in the first place, right? And they're good people to society, their families, but they're not an entrepreneur. Because I think entrepreneurship, you got to have really, really, you know, when people ask me, it's like, what does it take? Like, well, it takes very, very strong mindset. You got to have things.
I have a lot of balls in this game.
Yes. You got to have balls. You got to pay the price every day. There's no days off, you know. It's 24/7, 365, because the responsibility that we have, you know, like for myself, I employ a lot of people and I support a lot of families.
Yeah.
So if I make one mistake, it could definitely hurt a lot of people. And for me, I'm not about hurting anyone. So I eat last. That's why I always tell you, you know, I tell people, it's like, you think I eat first? I'm the last one to eat, because I got to make sure everybody gets taken care of first.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. When you look at life and you live life that way, you cannot fail.
Correct.
Because you're looking out for the best interest of helping others.
Correct.
And very few people understand that that's the gold right there. When you can learn to operate that way, it's game over.
Yes. And it's been something that I've always had, but going back to my story, I didn't have the understanding of it, right? Until you go through that lesson and you're able to pick it out from the lesson and be like, oh, damn, that's what that was. Right.
Got it.
But it's also self-reflection. I do a ton of self-reflection. I literally take some, you know, every day I try to take 20 to 30 minutes of my day. And this is before I even go to, you know, when I close the books and I'm done, I reflect on my day and I write it down. I journal it and I pick things that, okay, well, what did you do here? What did you say here? And I'm always fixing myself. You know, I'm always trying to better myself in that aspect. And I've been doing that for many, many years. So that's how I was able to get back on my feet, getting back to the story. And then from there on is history. I just started, you know, I bought a restaurant. I'll share the story. You know, so we go to, my wife has family up in Oakland Hills. So we go to go visit them. And my wife likes crepes, so she found this crepe restaurant. So we walk in there. This is 2014, 2015. We walk in there and the gentleman takes a liking into me, starts talking to me, and he's like, hey, would you want to buy my business? And I was like, no. Like,
out of nowhere.
Out of nowhere, right?
And he already felt that energy. You walked in.
And I was like, nah. I was like, I mean, I live in Southern California. He's like, oh, no. He's like, you know, my wife has cancer. We're trying to sell the business. And I was like, you know what? Send me some information. You know, I was just curious. And my wife was like, you're going to buy it? I was like, no. Let me see what it's about. So anyway, we get back home, we fly back home, and he gives me a call. He's like, I'm going to send you an email with our profit and loss. I'm like, all right. Sends me the contract of the sale. He had a realtor. He was selling the business because it was inside a mall. So he couldn't sell the building. So he was just selling the business. He wanted like $250,000. And I was like, nah, like, I don't know anything about restaurants. You know, so I'm like, I'm going to shoot myself in the foot. And anyway, so I told my wife, look, I'm going to give $80,000. if he takes it, cool. And the only reason I did it was to challenge myself to be able to lead a team from a distance. That was the risk I took for this business. It was because I'm a risk taker. And I was like, if I could lead a team locally, what is it going to take for me to lead a team from a distance, right? So that means systems. Anyway, so we fly back and we meet. And I was like, look, with all due respects, I know you want X amount. I'll offer you this. I go, that's it. No more. I go, and the thing is, you got to remember that.
That's like a third.
Yeah. And they took it. So now I own a restaurant and I'm like, holy shit, I don't know anything about restaurants.
Now you're in. Fuck it.
Okay. So they're like, look, we'll stay here for 30 days. They're like, you just need to hire a manager because, you know, we manage the employees. I was like, holy fuck. True story. I put ads on Craigslist and I hire my manager. I got all these people. And the one I picked, she stayed with me till the end. And she came from Craigslist, and I still get goosebumps because, you know, I took a liking into her and I grew her. You know, I was like, oh, this is yours. Like, I can't run it. You run it. You have the freedom. We created systems. I created the Chipotle model. I actually, because they had all these crepes with all these. So I'm like, we're going to go, you know, savory or sweet, you know, two items, three items. And that way we could train anybody to come do crepes.
Yeah.
Clean up the whole system. We took it, we changed it around. And then she ran it for me for about 3 years. Then I sold it, you know, got out of the business. Yeah. There's very, very few, the profit margin in those businesses is very small. So I was like, you know, and then at that time, San Francisco, Oakland raised their minimum wage, I think, to $18. So my manager was making 20. And now I had to raise her to 25 and you know, any regular employee 18. So literally we went from like $10 or $12 minimum wage to 18. So now your profit is just. So I went in there and I was like, we got to make some moves. And, you know, I turned around and sold the business. I offered it to her. I was like, look, this is something good for you because you don't have to pay anybody. You could run it and hire, keep the employees or cut employees, whatever you want.
Yeah.
But she's not an entrepreneur. She's like, you know, I want to work for, she's like, come and open something else and I'll work for you. To this day, she still talks to me. And she's like, if you ever open a business, I want to work for you. You know, wow. But to me, it was like the experience. And we were able to do it. And from there, I started branching off to other businesses. And I started realizing what I really wanted to do. And that's how I came out. You know, Optimum Financial Group, I started about, not Optimum, it was called something else, about 5 years ago. I had a business partner that came out with the idea. We had another company that we're involved with. And he came up to me. He's like, dude, I have this idea for credit repair, blah, 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 blah. And I was like, cool. I go, present it to me. So he did. It made sense. And I was like, look, I hate creating paper systems. Everything for me is digital. As you see now, we're launching something great that we're going to be announcing soon. And you see how fast I move because I have the team.
Days. Immediately, like.
Yeah, I move fast. You know, that to me is, you know, speed is where it's at. You know, it's like, and I build my team that the ones that keep up with me stay. And the ones that don't, they got to stay behind. So, with that being said, he was just he actually was, and I'll talk about it, you know, because he's running from the law. He's a con artist. So he started doing, you know, stuff that he wasn't supposed to, got arrested. And he's from the U.S., but he met a girl from, I don't know, South America. And I hope he sees this because he's in big trouble if he ever comes back to the States. So anyway, so long story short, we built it. He didn't have integrity, character. I shut it down. I realized the do's and the don'ts. And then I rebranded it and systemized everything that Optimum Financial Group is. So throughout this whole process, I've been able to learn the do's and don'ts of business, the do's and don'ts of how to build a team, who's on your team, who does what, and put every player, you know, to win. And that's, you know, what I've learned these 47 years of my life. So in a nutshell, that's pretty much a little bit of my story. You know, I've done a lot. I felt a lot. You know, I put my family in very bad financial predicaments. And as we all know, as being an entrepreneur, you know, I'll share a quick story. I didn't become a homeowner till 6 years ago because every time I'll create profits, I'll invest in another business. So, you know, you can't show income.
You keep going.
So my wife was like, man, like, when are you going to buy me a house? I was like, just relax. Because I want to buy the house that we want, not the house that we qualify for. And that was my mindset. I was like, when I'm ready to buy, it's not going to be just a home. It's not just going to be a house. That, oh, you qualify for X amount, because that's not how I live. I go get what we want. And when I'm ready, you go pick it. And it happened.
Yeah.
And then I was like, you see, you trusted me. And with that being said, is that's why I live my life in those terms. I don't just settle for what's given to me. I got to go earn what I want. So, you know, and through that whole process, it's been, you know, I always tell people my portfolio of experiences is pretty damn big. You know, I've lost millions of dollars. I've gotten screwed, you know, millions of dollars by people and, you know, lawsuits because of people. Actually, that con artist, I got a lawsuit a couple of weeks ago because he took out a credit card 3 years ago from the company, and I didn't even know. And he recently, I don't know how the hell he still had it, he used it, and he maxed it out because he's out of the country. He's not here. And I get a letter from a law firm, which I send it to my attorney, and I send him all the every email I have from him, the people he scammed. You know, so, you know, it's just one of those things that still to today, I'm still fighting some battles of things, of bad choices, of being around bad people. But that's part of the journey. You know, I can't change it. And, you know, people are like, damn, you don't get stressed out. I'm like, I do. But I mean, if I put energy or time into trying to fight someone, you know, my attorney says something that stuck with me. He's like, don't throw bad money at bad money. I was like, he's like, look, I'll fight for you, but you're going to go after to fight this person that has nothing, right? You got to pay me to go after him. He's like, at the end of the day, you're going to get a judgment. You're not going to get nothing. Makes sense. When he told me that, it changed my mindset. I was like, you know, let him go. Karma will get him. I just focus on getting back on my feet and keep going. So that's a little bit of
gotcha,
a question.
Gotcha.
I do have a
question. Sure. How long have you been married?
23 years.
And she stuck with you through 2007, the rest of the business, ups and downs.
Everything.
Losing it all.
Yes.
Getting betrayed.
Everything.
All that stuff. How important is she in your life?
Very important. You know, it's funny because now, like, she doesn't question my business decisions. But when that first happened, she was like, damn, are you sure? You know, because the fear of, you know, not having money. I'll share a story. You know, we fed our kids on welfare. I remember one time I was driving back home and she's like, we need milk for the kids. I didn't have $2 to get by milk. I'm fucking going through the ashtray and the cup holders, picking quarters, and I didn't have money to buy milk. You know,
so how was that feeling?
It's
there,
horrible. Man. It's either lights a fire up your ass or you just settle. Right. For me, it lit me up and I was like, hell no, this is not the life I'm supposed to live. You know, and my kids don't remember, but me and my wife do. You know, I remember going to the grocery store and pulling out our week coupons, you know, and it's like we had to do what we had to do. And growing up, I never lived in an apartment. My dad always had a home for us. And I literally took my wife and my kids to a one-bedroom apartment when we lost our home. And, you know, to me, that was a significant point in my life where I'm like, no, this is not where I'm staying. I had to get out of this. You know, so going back to, you know, your answer is she's been there with me thick and thin. Like I said, she wanted a home after we lost our home. And it took 10 years after that to get our home back.
Wow.
You know, so we rented for 10 years after that. And, you know, at the end of the day, now we have our dream home. It's not just a home we qualify. It was a home that we had no limit of what we wanted. And now we have it. And, you know, every day we're grateful to wake up and see, like, man, like, you know, one of my neighbors is a very famous athlete. You know, he plays for the Dodgers. You know, he lives on my same street. So we live in a pretty good, decent neighborhood. Yeah.
It's the best, most prestigious neighborhood in the Inland Empire.
Yeah.
So you made it again to the top because you chose to live where you wanted to live. Wow.
Yeah. So, you know, and she's still there. And, you know, now she gets to, you know, see everything that we're building and sees the results. And she's like, damn, like, Now it's different. Now it's like, mm-hmm. okay, yeah, she don't even question it anymore. But there was a time, even a couple years ago, I got into some business ventures with some, you know, people that were the wrong people. They screwed us over bad. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, I'm talking. And she was like, dude, like, you need to stop this shit. Like, it's just, you know.
Stop being so nice.
Yeah. So now it's like I bring my legal team and before we fucking sign it, we gotta make sure this is the right thing. You know, like yesterday that Zoom I was telling you about, I have my attorney on that Zoom, and it has to be that way. You
know? Absolutely.
And now it's like I'm sure that every decision I make moving forward, you know, there'll be a little kink here and there, but there's nothing that I can't handle.
Right. What do you think in the relationship that you both have, you and your wife have, right? What do you think is an ingredient or key ingredients to just keep strong, keep yourself together through thick and thin?
Basically? I think, you know, this is a great question because this took me for a long time to understand is that I'm me and she's her. She lets me be me and I let her be her. I don't try to change her. I don't try to give her, you know, I'm big in personal development because I'm a leader. Right, I have to always be refining myself, and she's not. So for me, I wanted her to be a leader, you know, but that's not her. That's not her. So when I realized, like, okay, when I say something and you respond to me a certain way, that's her. Yeah. And she's not responding to me. She's responding to her. So I started processing things different, and that's what just gives us like the best relationship ever because. She knows who I am. She knows what I'm capable of. And I know who she is. And I let her be. And she lets me be. And I think that's the best dynamics ever.
100%. Dude, this is a huge, like, thing that people can't miss. What you just said right there is totally accepting her for who she is.
Correct.
And she accepting you for who you are. Mm-hmm. And it's easy to say, but it's not that easy to do.
Correct.
And so that must have, when you've been married 23 years. When you first got married, challenges
you
like
you don't know any of that.
You didn't know that, right?
No, I just understood that about 2 years ago.
Okay,
and it took me 21 years because I wanted her to be like me. That's not the reason. And then when I realized, like, well, fuck, like she can't be like me. That's why I married her because she's her.
Yeah.
Right. And then once you do that, the dynamics change because it's like I don't question where she goes. She don't question where I go, right? Because she knows I'm doing what I have to do. Like I'm not going to a bar and get drunk and then come pick me up. She like, hey, I'm gonna go out there and do what I gotta do. I'll be back. All right, cool. Hey, I'll be out with my friends at coffee with the mom. Hey, cool. Like go do you, I do me, right? I don't question it. Why? Because it's at the end of the day we regroup. And then that's how our day went, you know? And yeah, I think that's the most beautiful thing to do. It's not having control over anybody. I think the biggest thing is having control over yourself and know yourself. I think for me, what I do is I put affirmations that I carry on my phone of things that I want to remind myself, like this, right? I always tell myself, let her be. Why? Because if she reacts to something I say, that's her reaction, not mine. I just said it.
Yeah, see, that's very important that you say that because one thing is letting you letting her be her and she letting you be you. But when you understand that when she speaks, she's coming from a place of her.
Correct.
And when you speak, you're coming from a place of you.
Correct.
Right. And you let that sink in. Yeah. Right. That's when real communication kicks in.
Correct. And it's very hard to do, though, because at the end of the day, you know, there's things that I don't like that she does, but I got to accept them. There's things I do that she don't like, but she has to accept them. As long as we know what bothers each other. Right. And there's nothing I could do about it. It's like, I'll give you an example. There's a certain food I love. She hates it, right?
So sushi. We're going to guess it right now.
No, seafood boil, right?
Okay.
And she's like, it's because your breath stinks like garlic after you eat it. And I'm like, well, but I love it, right? So the other day I was like, I'm going to cook a seafood boil. And she's like, why? So in that reaction, I was like, do I get mad? Or that's how she feels about it, right? I'm still going to eat it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I still ate it and I still cooked it.
You're still going to kiss her after that.
It was warm as hell.
Correct. So now I could have fought her, mm-hmm. right? Or be like, well, why are you saying it? You know? So it was very hard for me to understand that the reaction she's giving or the reaction I'm giving is it's me. It's how I feel. About mm-hmm. And it's okay. It's okay for somebody to feel a certain way about anything.
Yeah.
And I think that's where the misunderstanding of human connection is affected because You know, I used to think, well, if she feels a certain way about me eating seafood boil, then what's her problem? You know what I mean? Like, well, right, right. I want to fight her for it. Yeah. Like, hey,
fuck that. I'm going to eat what I want to eat. Yeah, whatever.
Plus communication. I mean, really, you really know communication at that point, right? Because everything's subjective, right? I can say, hey, you know what? Here's this tall person, and someone that's tall for me might be short for you. Correct. Right,
it's perspective
really, and everything is like that, right? So
yeah, no,
that's
no,
amazing.
That's hard. Probably the number one reason why relationships fail is someone trying to change someone else,
right?
And not accepting them for who they are, which is true love.
Mm-hmm. Correct. And you know, one of the things I'll share, something that I learned in this world, that it triggers emotional draining. And there's two things that, if you guys don't mind sharing, that I want to share that I have, that I use as a tool. For once, how to keep your energy level at your wavelength, right? And the other one's about trust. The first one is, we all are energies, right? We all have a wavelength. Mm-hmm. We attract each other based on the wavelengths, right? And one of the things I realize is, the more you grow, your wavelength goes up. And everybody that's more negative, that thinks, you know, the world's bad, they're down here.
They're on a different frequency.
Correct.
Yeah.
So what happens is, what I realize is, when you talk to someone and they're at a different frequency, right? Or they work for you, right? And they're draining you. Well, the reason they're draining you is because you're going back to their frequency. So what I always tell myself, Caesar, stay in your frequency. However they feel, unfortunately, it doesn't matter to you. Yeah. That's how they feel. Yeah. But I used to catch myself, you know, doing the cycle throughout the day. And by the end of the day, I was fucking depleted, right? So now, you know, going back to what I was saying earlier, I carry my affirmation. That's one big one I carry, is like, when I'm having a conversation with, you know, with somebody that's upset or somebody that's feeling a certain way, you know, an employee or business partners, why, you know, just do you, I don't have, it's you, that new project we have, but that's pretty much it. So, but when it comes to employees or loved ones, right? When they start venting or sharing, now I tell myself, hey, Caesar, stay in your wavelength. Don't drop to theirs, because that, I used to do that. And it used to hurt my decision-making. Affect my decision-making, affect how I felt after the meeting. Now I walk out feeling the same. And that's something that I had to teach myself, you know, because I would just do this fucking cycle.
So you would have sympathy instead of empathy.
Correct. Sympathy. And also, I would take response. Say, for instance, you're an employee of mine. You're complaining about another employee, but I know that you're a certain way and your words could be misinterpreted, right? You could come off as an asshole, right? But you think you're not. So now I'm trying to give you the reason, because you're doing the right thing, but the other person feels offended because of the way you approach them, right? So I will come in there and be like, okay, well, let me try to fix the situation.
Neutralize this.
Yeah, and it doesn't work that way. So I had to tell myself, hey, you go in there, you stick to your grounds, you know what you're doing. Unfortunately, the reason they're on your team is because they still haven't figured it out. So I'm walking in there because I'm the one that knows what's going on and I know how to fix this, or if it has a fix, or do I have to listen? You know, one of the things I learned to add to this is, when people talk to me, I'm like, do you want me to listen or do you want me to give you advice? And most of the time, they just want me to listen. So I'm like, all right, so I'm not going to fix nothing. Nothing. Okay. You know, and then my selective listening kicks in. It's like, okay, well, I'll listen, and it comes out this way, and then God bless you, and hopefully you feel better after you talk to me, you know? Because I was that one also trying to give somebody advice. And most of the time, people don't want advice.
Right? Yeah,
they just want you to listen to them. And that also builds so much trust, because now they could reach out and say, hey, I feel this way, I feel this other way, you know, boom, boom, boom. And
So I was going to say, so your father was a big influence in your life.
Yes.
Taught you a lot. Did you have other mentors after that?
You know, that's a great question. At the beginning, I think it was more on the audiobook side. You know, you look at Anthony Robbins, yep. Jim Rohn, Les Brown, you know, I was really big on them. But then after I started, you know, breaking through again, after my downfall, yes. And I have several people that I could call right now and be like, I need help on this. Could you explain this to me? And I think, not just mentors, but friends, because at the end of the day, we all have different experiences and backgrounds that we could actually collaborate on different ideas. And I think that's the most important thing today. Like, I know if I call you, Vinny, I have this idea. And I did, right? I came out with something that got, you know, came on my lap. And I was like, dude, let me call you. And what do you think, right? And then, you know, not even a week later, it turned into a company, right?
Yeah.
But that's how, that's mentorship, right? Because at the end of the day, it's not just about, oh, okay, well, this person has more money. You know, I have a friend of mine sold his company for millions, right? And, you know, I'll call him right now, he'll answer, right? And I have friends that own companies that are worth $2 billion, you know, and I'll call him right now. But the thing is, it's just how do we collaborate together? Right. And I think to me now it's we call each other and give each other support on how do we help each other? What do you need? Oh, I need this. Boom, here it is. You know, and I think that's the most beautiful part, because maybe at the end of the day, it's more of a collaborative work now and connections. You know, for me, that's why I call myself a connector, because I'm very wide in the relationships and networks that I have.
Absolutely, without a doubt. And so you're known as a connector. And so it's not uncommon for you to run into the right people because of the frequency that you're on. You're right. Always on that high energy. And not only that, it's who you're being. Who you're being is someone who's always looking to help others.
Correct.
And again, when you come from there, it's game over. And I don't care what business you're in. If you're in the business of helping others or making a difference, you're impacting their lives.
Correct.
You'll win all day long. And you have that. And all the people line up, God puts them, boom, on your path. The universe lines them up because that's how it's supposed to be.
Correct.
Who would have thought, I mean, I've tried to start companies and it takes months and it doesn't work out. And this was a conversation on, and I said, let's join a Zoom. You put it together. The next day we're having lunch and then boom, started a company that same day. Like, what the fuck? That's how it's supposed to happen when the right players are in place.
Correct. That's what we're talking about before we started the podcast. I go, it's just, and I got goosebumps just because of how it happens, right? It's not forced. Anything right. That's forced, I always say, I don't even touch it anymore. I let it go because you're forcing the result and you're never going to get a good result. It'll probably give you a little result for a little bit and then it's just going to fucking know.
And I think what's important that people need to understand is what you just say. When there's force, there's resistance. There's a reason for it.
Correct.
When you're in the flow, there is no resistance.
Zero.
And it's the floodgates open and you're rolling with it. Yes. It's just happening. And you can't explain it because you don't have to explain it, but you understand it. And you understand it. That.
Yeah. And going back to, you know, the company that we put together, and it's not even a week.
No. It's going to be a week Thursday. Yeah. It's only been like four days.
And we already have digital registration, we have the website, we have everything, we have LLC, everything. We're moving
like that.
Yeah. And we didn't stop doing what we're doing to put it together. Did you notice that?
Not at all. And we were texting at 10 o'clock at night. Yeah. Hey, I like the blue, I like this, hey, let's go with that, blah, blah.
Done.
Yeah.
And the thing is, it's also the speed that we're on and the frequency we're on. And for me, the most grateful thing I could do is, you know, connect you guys with my networks that are going to help you do better things or bring you along where I go, so you could connect with people I connect. That to me is the most fulfilling thing. That it just fulfills me in any way, you know, I can't explain.
I want to share something about that, because the energy that you're in, you invited me to lunch. We're having lunch in Newport Beach. We're at the dock on at the house.
Correct.
And we're shooting video and talk, just having conversation. And there was a meeting next to us. You remember that?
Yeah.
It was three people. Two, they shook hands, they left. And the other guy was like curious as to what's going on here. So he comes over, starts talking to our camera guy, and it's his camera guy. And he says, hey, who are these guys? What are you guys doing? Long story short, we stopped talking and we're like, hey, how you doing? What's your name? Nice to meet you. And I'm like, wait a minute. You're Rubio Gotaver. The guy had just finished selling like a G5 private jet to these guys. That's what he sells, private jets. But something brought him over, curiosity, but it all has to do with the energy.
Correct.
And the guy was like, bro, I want to hook up with you guys. Let's have lunch. And he took pictures with us. And just a normal dude. And that's the kind of people that are like that. So at that level, everyone wants to help each other.
Correct. 100%. And that's why I like to invite my inner circle there. Yeah. Because I could talk about it, but once you experience it, that's the difference. That's when you're like, oh shit, like this is badass. Yeah.
And I noticed something about you that you don't see anyone as competition.
No.
You see everyone as, let's all create opportunity for each other.
Yes.
That's a gift. That's a strong suit that you have. Very few people have that because we've all been burnt in the past before or something. And we'll think twice about something because we're like, it's probably going to be the same as last time. Because we always relate to shit like that.
It's intention, right? You know, for me, anytime I meet with anyone, I have no intentions. You know, because at the end, I don't have an agenda with nobody. Because at the end of the day, it's like, I want to listen. And this is why I always, and this is for everybody out there that is trying to be an entrepreneur, or trying, you know, I get a question that people are like, oh, so how do I get in? How could I sit at the table with you? Well, first of all, I got to trust you, right? And how do you build trust? Is by figuring out what I like or what I need, right? So the same thing I do when I meet someone, you know? For example, when I met you and you're going to Cabo, I was like, oh, you know what? Let me call my boy, see if we could give you a better experience. And to me, that was, I didn't expect nothing. I was just, if you have a great time, you'd be like, damn, like this was badass, right?
And it was.
And that's how it's supposed to be. And I'm using it as an example for people want to connect with you guys, with me, right? They want to come in and just like try to bullshit. Or try to, you know, come up with shit just to get around this. And that's not how you do it. Pay attention to a person. Once you pay attention and you're like, okay, you need this? Absolutely. Or, you know what? Mm-hmm. Let me make a phone call and see if I can connect you. Yeah. Now, this is where I'm going. I was talking earlier about how I have a system called the Richter scale. And it's not for earthquake. It's for trust. Yeah. And I created this because I realized, like, I used to be the person that'll give everybody I'll trust them right from the get-go, right? But then as soon as they defrauded me or did something against my core values or standards, then they start dropping, right? I'm like, oh, fuck. This guy's going to fuck me over, right? So now what I've done, I flipped it. So now if I meet someone, they start at a zero. So if you say, hey, we're going to do this and this, perfect. And they don't do it, they stay at a zero. I don't trust you. You got to earn your trust with me.
Yeah.
So you got to go back. You build your trust based on your character and what you say. So, hey, Caesar, we're going to meet here at 1. We show up at 1, and they're there. Boom, now they're the Richter scale 1, right? So, hey, Caesar, I'm going to send you this document at 2 o'clock, and it's 4 o'clock you haven't sent it. Now you're back at a zero. So now I don't trust you. And that's how it works. Because at the end of the day, it's our words what matters, right? You say you're going to do something, you do it. If you're not, then be honest. Hey, I can't do that. Or I can't help you with that. I thought I could, you know, whatever the reason is. Everybody tries to lie to fit in or to get access to us. And that's the thing. You have to earn your access. That's what I tell people. Look, I'll be cordial, but to really have my access, you have to earn it. Because we're playing at a whole different playing field now that our time's valuable and we got things that we got to focus on. And not because I'm trying to be an asshole or a jerk. It's just because now I value my time different.
And you went from trying to push everybody to be something that they really didn't even want them for themselves, right? At what point do you think that your level of consciousness shifted to this version?
That's a great question. It started more when I started realizing that I was losing myself. And what that means is I was trying to see, like, well, what's my worth, right? Because I started losing my self-worth trying to help the wrong people. And then when I got that back, my confidence came back.
Got you.
My awareness came back and my energy came back. And I'm fucking, you can't stop me.
Yeah.
You know, that was that moment because I felt like a loser because they were losing. I felt like a loser. And I was like, I'm not a fucking loser. You know, I'm not. I know what I've done. I know who's on my contact list. They're not losers. And I feel like a loser because I'm trying to help XYZ.
Yeah.
You know, I'm trying to help a con artist, you know, like.
Right.
That was a problem. And then I lost myself in that. I really did. That's a great question because there was a moment in time that I would tell my wife, like, fuck, am I a piece of shit? Seriously. Mm-hmm. And she's like, you're not. I was like, why the fuck do I feel like a piece of shit? So that was a moment I sat back and I was like, you know what? I'm taking 2 days off. I'm gonna be in my office and I'm just gonna replay everything. And sure enough, it was just the wrong people. And I got myself back. I'm like, all right, who am I gonna give my time to? And that's what that moment, I never looked back and I'm never gonna change it. And you gotta earn it. And I think at the end of the day, everybody's watching should pay attention to that. Don't go in with an agenda. Don't go in there trying to fit in. Mm. Go in there and seek what, if you want to meet somebody or connect with somebody that's at a higher level than you, you need to figure out what they want, what they're looking for, and help them. That's it.
And then can you remind our audience what your attorney told you?
Yeah, don't throw bad money at bad money.
That's badass right there, man. Yeah.
That stuck with me. And you know, all those lessons cost, right? He's like charging me. He don't care. He could charge me regardless. Ooh. He does whatever I tell him. And I was like, damn, he's right. You know? And to me, it's like all those lessons mean so much, but you can't go through those lessons without failing. Because all those come from failures. You know, I don't hire an attorney just for the fun of it. You know? Yeah, because he did bad choice, you know? It's bad choices we made, or you had, again, you're trying to help the wrong person and they made a bad choice and now you're liable for their choices. That's a problem. And that's where I lost myself.
Right. Got you.
Wow. So what's next for you?
What's next? That's a great question. I think what's next for me is now settled down in the sense of working. You know, we got the new project, Optimum Financial Group. It's growing. You know, we have a sales team. I'm not going to retire. I love doing what I do, but I think now it's focusing on building what we have and taking it to the level that most can't even fathom. That's it. And I think it's not far away. Like I was telling you, both of you guys earlier, the team I have, I'm so gung-ho on digital systems and automation and AI, and I have the whole team to do pretty much build anything we want, you know, and I think that's the most powerful thing. And that took me the same thing. I will hire marketing people and, I do this, I do that, and take your money and fuck you over. But now I have the solid team. They know my pace. They know my expectations. They know if I bring somebody on board, they're the same expectations as Caesar. So there's never going to be a flaw. So I'm confident that we could take what we're building to a level that, you know, and that's pretty much it. I'm not chasing money. I'm not looking for money. I'm looking to make a difference and an impact and leave a legacy. I always tell people, if you chase money, it's going to elude you like a butterfly. You know, I hate people. Like, how much money are you making? I was like, I don't fucking know. I'm not doing it for the money. I'm doing it for the challenge. I get dopamine scores off unknowns. That's my high. You know, it's just, gotcha. That to me is like what drives me. Like,
okay, if you can give our audience some advice, you've been through all kinds of challenges and turn all those challenges into victories. You lost it, but you lost basically everything, yeah, right? Sure. If you can give them some advice, you know, to the people that are going through something right now, they start a business and they're going through something, what advice can you give them?
The first advice I would tell anybody is make sure you're listening to the right people, okay? If you're in the food industry and there's somebody that you look up to, build a relationship with that person and I'll guarantee you they'll help you. The problem is most of us, when we're going through hard times, we go where it's easy, right? Because it's easy to go go ask your loved one or somebody that can't understand what you're going through. So how the hell are they going to help you? You know, and I think that's the biggest thing is if whatever industry you're in, you need to find somebody that's crushing it and don't reach out to them and be like, hey, can we get on a call? That's not how it works. You have to build trust. And trust is built by serving them. And unfortunately, you have to have that patience. You have to be patient to know, like, this person's not going to reply to me right the first time I fucking DM them or however you're going to communicate with them. And you got to figure out who the person is, if that's who you're trying to, you know, emulate, right? Because pretty much you're in the food industry, whatever industry you're in. I always tell people, it's like, you know, they see me and like, oh, well, you know, you're with such and such. How did you do that? And it's like, well, I grew into it. Like, there was no way I could get with that person 5 years ago. They wouldn't even acknowledge me, right? Now it's like, cool. But it's just, you grow into it. So that's the same thing I tell people. Anybody that's struggling right now in any aspect in the business world, you really need to find that person that is doing what you're trying to do, and figure out how to get in contact, how to add value to them, and be patient. Because at the end of the day, if you're not patient, then you're not meant to be an entrepreneur. Because we got to be. I mean, patience is a skill set, mm-hmm. for sure, and most people don't have it. I could have quit when I lost everything.
Most do. Yeah. And never turn it around.
And they stay there forever.
And that was your fuel.
My fuel. I was driven. I'm still driven. I'm pumped right now. I'm like, you know, I'm ready to conquer whatever comes our way. You know, it's just, you know, I stay cool, calm, collected. But my drive when I get into something is to be able to be elite in it.
Got you. You know, we're almost getting into time here, but we at our podcast, we have two types of people, some that wish that can go back and change something, and some that will never change anything because that's allow them to become who they are right now. Which one are you?
Well, you know, that's a great question. I actually have two answers to that. You know, the only thing that I regret of my journey is losing time with my children because I had no time for them. I was out there, you know, knocking on doors, you know, so I lost a lot of time. And about 2 weekends ago, me and my son, you know, we're hanging out and he asked me, he's like, hey, Dad, he asked me that question. He's like, would you do this again? And I was like, if I had to lose the time with you guys, I'll still do it, but very, very different. Now, would I change anything? Absolutely not, because everything, all my wisdom, you know, it's mine. All the experiences are mine. So nobody could take them away from me. And that's my value. That's the value I bring to the marketplace. So I wouldn't change.
Great answer.
Phenomenal. Bro, it's been incredible. Thank you for sharing your story.
Thank you.
Thank you for being a part of it.
Appreciate
Where
it.
Can people find you on,
well, on you guys, Instagram? So my personal media? Instagram is CesarGomez909, TikTok. That's, you know, my personal. I do a lot of content as well. You know, and then from our company, Optimum Financial Group, it's optimum-financial-group. On Instagram, on TikTok, Twitter, and then our website is www.optimum-financial-group.com. You guys can find us there. Definitely we're here to help people level up on the financial world, you know, credit stuff, funding. If you have a business, you're trying to get funding for your business, we could definitely help you with that. If you have credit issues, we could definitely help you with that. And we got some new programs that we're excited about that we'll be launching soon as well. So.
Awesome.
And then we have something that will be that you guys will be announcing soon too that we're putting together. We should be ready to go in the next week or so.
Awesome. Well, thank you for being here. We appreciate you. Yeah. Thanks for sharing.
Love your story.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Don't forget, you can follow us, No Quitters Podcast. We're on Instagram, Twitter, YouTube, on all platforms.
Absolutely, guys.
Once again,
the No Quitters Podcast completely dedicates its time to helping motivate our community so that you guys do not quit whenever you guys face any challenges. Just make sure you can listen to our podcast. Thank you guys for watching.
Thank you.